Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Within the last few years, Palm Beach County became the epicenter of the opioid crisis in Florida. Because of it, officials created a task force to combat problems in sober homes. Those are places used by people in their recovery, a place that they stay while they're getting treatment. And that was just one strategy to try to solve this problem. There have been arrests of these sober home operators, lawsuits against Big Pharma, and even laws to limit how much opioids a doctor can prescribe. Now, these programs could help explain the 41% decrease in the county of opioid-related deaths in the past year. We're joined now by State Attorney in Palm Beach County, Dave Ehrenberg. Mr. Ehrenberg, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. So as I mentioned, 41% decrease in opioid-related deaths between 2017 and 2018. Can you put your finger on one thing as the main reason why such a big decline?
I'd have to say there are a few things. Number one, our Sober Homes Task Force, which is run out of our state attorney's office, has made around 68 arrests since October 2016 when it first started. And I really think the crackdown on rogue sober homes and corrupted drug treatment centers has made a big difference. You've seen a lot of these bad sober homes and treatment centers shut down, people get arrested, and others just packed up and left town because we're the only county in the country that has this kind of crackdown on the sober home and drug treatment industry. So that's one. Number two, the increased availability of Narcan, which is an antidote to an overdose. It's now an over-the-counter medication. It's now being distributed widely throughout the community. And so now you have people who would otherwise have died from an overdose being brought back to life. And number three, importantly, you see pilot projects in our county, and especially in Delray Beach, where they have focused on people who overdose, and instead of releasing them from the emergency room after an overdose, only to overdose again, and sometimes in the hospital's own parking lot, now they get follow-up care. Delray Beach Police has even hired a community service aide to come in and work with individuals in recovery to make sure that if they're at risk or if they overdose, that they're getting the services that they need. And more help is on the way. Palm Beach County is starting an addiction stabilization unit that's going to have dedicated beds at JFK Hospital just for people who overdose. So no longer will we have this unending revolving door of overdose stabilization over and over again until that person dies. Now we have ways to help them achieve a more lasting recovery.
Let's go back real quickly and just look at how in a very short period of time, Palm Beach County becomes ground zero for this epidemic. Why?
Palm Beach County has always had a thriving drug treatment industry. It's been longstanding. And what happened, though, is in recent years, you have had a man-made opioid epidemic fueled by corporate malfeasance, professional greed, political apathy, and regulatory failure that's created this unprecedented epidemic that now has millions of Americans addicted to these powerful painkillers. When we shut down the pill mills, which was a good thing when we were able to shut them down, I was involved in that working as a special prosecutor for the Attorney General, Pam Bondi. We shut down these pill mills, but we knew that when we shut them down, just because you take away the supply of opioids doesn't mean the demand will go away. And so people moved to a cheaper, more accessible alternative, which is heroin. And today's heroin is so much more potent than it used to be. It's now spiked with cheap, potent Chinese fentanyl and carfentanil, elephant tranquilizer. So the fact is, when we shut down the pill mills, it led to a heroin and now a fentanyl epidemic. But also there's another important component to this. Well-intended federal laws, like the Affordable Care Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Fair Housing Act and the Mental Health Parity Act, have done a lot of good for a lot of people. But there are some unscrupulous actors who have exploited these well-intended laws to take advantage of people in recovery. So they start sober homes that are nothing more than flop houses that are unfortunately protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act from local control and local oversight. They use the Affordable Care Act, which has generous benefits for people in recovery, but they use that to keep people in recovery because it's reimbursed at a fee-for-service basis. And so the more times someone relapses, the more benefits an unscrupulous provider can make. So all these things combined have led to a corruption of the drug treatment and sober home industry, and that's what we targeted, and that's where we've had a lot of success.
And you talk about these sober homes and how they just, that industry popped up and has thrived. And again, it, because of a federal protection, it's very difficult to shut them down. These homes can exist in any residential area. And so how are you, you know, because you've made a lot of arrests in this past year, how are you getting at these operators? How do you try to get around that challenge?
It is a challenge because federal law protects sober homes from discrimination, which is good because we need good sober homes to help people achieve recovery when we're dealing with an unprecedented opioid epidemic. You can't arrest your way out of this problem. You need good rehab and prevention. And so a good sober home is one you won't even know is in your community. But a bad one, a flop house, is just a haven for drug use and prostitution and human trafficking. And the federal law, the Americans with Disabilities Act, protects all sober homes from mandatory registration and strict oversight by local governments. It protects the good and the bad, and that's what's so frustrating. We want to clarify federal law to allow local governments the ability to enact reasonable guidelines for the safety and welfare of the individuals residing in these sober homes who are being taken advantage of, who enter a sober home and leave only in an ambulance or a body bag. So we have approached Congress. My chief assistant, Al Johnson, and I testified twice before Congress to urge some reform in this area. It has not arrived yet, but at the state level, we're trying to get at it through a different way. So state law now says that if you have a sober home, you cannot receive a referral from a drug treatment center unless your sober home is certified. And you can't send your residents to a drug treatment center unless your sober home is certified. So we have created carrots and sticks to incentivize certification if we can't do it through the laws in a mandatory way.
Tell us about the creation of the Palm Beach County Sober Homes Task Force. What kind of resources do you have?
We started with a grant from the state government, the state legislature, of $275,000 back in 2016, and then we got it renewed for $300,000 in 2017. In 2018, we brought it in-house, and so our office, state attorney's office, is paying for it. But we get law enforcement officers from around the county. So we thank Sheriff Bradshaw and from Palm Beach Sheriff's Office and other law enforcement agencies who have donated their officers to working with us to root out fraud and abuse in the drug treatment industry. We focus on patient brokering and insurance fraud. And I can put it to you like this. The task force is like, if you ever watch Law and Order, the cops are the first half of the show and the prosecutors are in the second half. So normally our office is the second half of the TV show. And so normally we're more passive and waiting for cases to come in to prosecute. But when it comes to this task force, we are in the first half of the show with law enforcement. We're active in seeking out the cases and doing undercover work. And we all work together. And that's how we went from zero cases to 68 cases in just a short period of time. And that's how we have led to cleaning up this industry, where you can see a real difference in our community. I mean, that 41% decrease in opioid overdose deaths, I think, is a direct relation to the enhanced enforcement efforts from our task force, along with other really important things going on in the community.
We're talking with Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg, and we're talking again about the fight against the opioid crisis that struck his county harder than any other in the state. And yet, it's been reported opioid overdose deaths were down 41% between 2017 and 2018. Now, we want to mention that if you have questions about this issue, especially sober homes, we have a link on our Facebook at WLRN Sundial to the state attorney's office page, so you can learn more if you need help. And you can also go to Heart of United Way for assistance. If you feel like you're having an issue with this problem or you know someone who is, just text the letters TXT to 211. Again, go to our Facebook page, WLRN Sundial, to learn more. Mr. Ehrenberg, so, you know, going through the research, the opioid epidemic, I mean, it's become a big problem in so many communities across the country. The Department of Health and Human Services reported that in 2017, there were an average of 130 people in the U.S. dying every day of this problem. Now, one of the ways that the governments across the country are battling back is in the courts. Remind us real quickly, Palm Beach County also filed a suit against drug makers, but was that suit put into a larger suit on a federal level?
Correct. Palm Beach County joined with other counties and municipalities from throughout the country to sue the opioid manufacturers and the distributors for creating this man-made menace. That's what this is. This was man-made in years in the making and preventable. This is a preventable epidemic. And so the fact that Palm Beach County has to incur so many millions of dollars in unreimbursed firefighter costs and police costs and healthcare costs, that's what led to the lawsuit against these companies, just like the tobacco lawsuit a few years ago that was successful. So all the lawsuits, the local and state lawsuits, at least most of them, were certified and consolidated into a court in Cleveland, a federal court, and that's where our local lawsuit is. Now, the state of Florida also has filed a lawsuit and has opted out of the national effort to maintain its own lawsuit, which is in a court in Pasco County. And so there's two different ways that we're getting at this, because I do think that those responsible for this epidemic should pay.
You know, one of the things about those lawsuits, at least in my reading, is yes, the drug companies will settle in many cases, and that's money that could be used to, you know, for municipalities and the state governments to fight the issue. And yet, isn't it been a challenge to try to get the drug companies to actually admit that their product was addictive and they knew it?
Yes, yes. It's something I've been working on since 2001 when I was a young assistant attorney general. And I worked for Attorney General Bob Butterworth, who asked me to investigate Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin. Back then in 2001, OxyContin was a relatively new drug. And we knew back then that the marketing practices were way too aggressive. It was being marketed like it was Advil, like it was arthritis medication. And the manufacturer knew that this product was addictive and dangerous, and yet it was marketed as safe and non-addictive. So yes, I do think it's been a long climb to try to get them to admit what they knew from the beginning. But I think ultimately they will, because it's in their interest, because they are facing billions of dollars. They're really facing pretty much bankruptcy if they don't come to the table and agree to a global settlement, because we're talking about human lives that can never be brought back. The cost also to local and state governments. We're talking about destruction that these companies have created for profit. And it's just, you know, it's really despicable, because we Americans consume more opioids than any other country times multiple, with like several multiples, times three, times four, times five, depending on the country. Does that mean that Americans have more pain than other countries? No, it's just that we become a nation addicted to opioids, and that was because of corporate malfeasance and professional greed.
And if you are able to, or if anybody, any of these suits is able to actually get an admission to the fact that they knew that their product was addictive, I mean, is it comparable to when, you know, we had the lawsuits against the tobacco industry? What would happen exactly?
Well, there would be a global settlement. It would be like the tobacco lawsuits. They would agree to pay out large sums of money to counties and cities. And the cases then would then go away, except for the ones that opted out of the settlement. And like for the state of Florida, the companies would have to pay out or face a trial of the remaining cases. And so, you know, there's a lot on the line here, because I think that the tobacco case is instructive. Tobacco companies had to pay out large sums of money, but then they were able to pretty much make it back by promoting their product overseas. I think that's what these companies are looking at right now. They realize that they're going to take a big hit financially, but I think that they're preparing to export America's opioid addiction overseas to other countries. Watch out for that. But I can see that is possibly going to be happening.
And you know, the other thing too is this, because you talk about going after big pharma, but there's some interesting research too that looks at the link between pharmaceutical marketing and opioid overdose deaths. And the study found there's a direct link between gifts to doctors from pharmaceutical companies to doctors prescribing opioids. Do doctors need to be held accountable?
Well, when I say that this man-made epidemic was caused by corporate malfeasance and professional greed. By professional greed, I'm including doctors who were getting paid to give speeches or to given free ski vacations or golf vacations to prescribe and dispense, in some cases, this very addictive dangerous product. Most of them were non-experts in the field. Most of them were just general practitioners who had no expertise in pain management. And they're the ones on the front lines who helped create this crisis. So yes, the medical community needs to look inward to see what the problem was and how they contributed to this unprecedented epidemic. And I think you've seen doctors take a big step by using the prescription drug monitoring program, by curtailing their prescriptions. The fact is, in Florida, if you're a doctor, you pretty much cannot dispense these drugs anymore. You can prescribe them, but you can't dispense them. Nowadays, under a new law, you're limited to giving a prescription for opioids to 3 to 7 days if it's for an acute pain or a surgery. So the medical community has reformed itself, but still those who helped create this problem still need to be held accountable.
Tell us real quickly, because you mentioned a little bit about it earlier, is the Addiction Stabilization Center at JFK Medical Center, how is this going to help? And really just give us a sense of the resources available right now in treatment.
Currently, if you overdose, you would go to an emergency room, they'd give you Narcan, and they would stabilize you and then release you. But in Palm Beach County, they're starting this stabilization center countywide that has currently 10 beds, and they could always use more. It's going to be at JFK Hospital. It's starting with a $1 million appropriation from the county, and then we can seek private insurance and Medicare, Medicaid as well to help reimburse the costs. But it would give the people who overdose not just stabilization, but also the ability to use Suboxone or Vivitrol, other medications that can help wean them off of heroin addiction. And I think it can make a real difference. Delray Beach, as I said earlier, has already been doing this, and it's been working. And other communities around the country are starting to do this, and it's working. But yet again, you see that this isn't free. $1 million of taxpayer money is being used to start this. And so there's a hope that ultimately the companies who created this mess are going to pay.
The new Attorney General, Nikki Fried, has said she wants to put this up at the top of her list. She hasn't mentioned that she wants to bring back the drug czar, but that question has been brought up to her. This is a position, a post that the past administration under Rick Scott had been removed. What are your thoughts on the idea of a drug czar in Florida? Do we need it?
Sure. One quick correction. The new Attorney General is Ashley Moody.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, Nikki Fried is the new agriculture commissioner.
Thank you.
But Ashley Moody has convened a task force for the opioid crisis, and I'm thankful to be put on it. You know, it's I'm a Democrat, she's a Republican, so you know, when you do things like this, it shows that when it comes to the opioid crisis and public safety, that it shouldn't be about partisanship. It's about, you know, it's something that truly can unite both parties. And I think that the task force is pretty open-ended. We're going to come up with best practices from throughout the state. Everyone has been tasked with recommending one thing they're doing locally that's working. But as far as the drug czar position statewide, I do think that you need someone to coordinate our state's drug response, because that position existed for years, and only under Governor Scott was it removed. And I think in the midst of an unprecedented opioid epidemic, you need to have someone coordinating our response to this crisis.
And yes, thank you for the correction. We did have the new Ag Commissioner, Nikki Fried, on this program. We did ask her about that issue. As you continue this fight, what's the strategy moving forward? What do you do? What more are you doing this year?
Well, this year we're going to continue our law enforcement efforts. We've made 68 arrests so far. We're continuing, and we've got more in our sights. From a legislation standpoint, there's a few things we need the legislature to pass, and our task force has recommended a bunch of things, but let me give you three quick ones. First, we want to tighten up the laws when it comes to those who lie on their applications to become a drug treatment center. Right now, it's a misdemeanor. It's a slap on the wrist. We want to make it a felony if you fill out and lie on a application form to open up a drug treatment center. That way you can deter some of these con men who try to get into the business. Number two, we want to make it a little easier for those who have had problems in their past, who are people in recovery and who have had low-level crimes years ago, to work in the industry again, because sometimes the best peer counselors are people who have gone through it themselves, but they're not allowed legally to participate in the drug treatment industry because of low-level crimes, a theft that they had, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And so we want to at least open it up to more people who can offer their services, as long as they paid their debt to society, as long as it's a low-level crime many years ago. And then also, lastly, and this is also important, we want to close loopholes in the current incentive structure we have. Right now, not all sober homes are covered under our incentive structure to get them to register and get certified with the state. We want to close those loopholes to get more sober homes certified, inspected, and registered with the state.
We've been talking with Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg, again talking about the fight against the opioid crisis. As we mentioned, the opioid deaths, related deaths, down 41% over the past year in Palm Beach County. Mr. Ehrenberg, I know that the weather up there in Palm Beach County has been pretty iffy today, so thank you so much. We really do appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me on, and thank you for your attention to this really important issue.
Absolutely. And I also do want to mention that we have been doing a lot of reporting on the opioid issue. You can always find a lot of the stories we've done at WLRN.org. And find us on Facebook, WLRN Sundial. We have a link to the state attorney's office page so you can learn more about the issue. All right, still to come on the program. Could a Hollywood man be facing hate crime charges for waving a gun and using racist language against protesters? That's coming up next.